Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, may you bless us this morning. May you guide us. May you be with us. May you walk alongside us. May you open our eyes and our ears to hear your word spoken to us this morning. And may you show yourself with us. Amen. A few years ago, I was traveling to a friend's wedding in Arkansas. Now, in the past, I had always been a little bit nervous traveling through new airports. But thankfully, this wasn't my first time traveling to my destination. And I had grown quite accustomed to traveling. So I felt pretty confident, and I wasn't really feeling that usual unease of being in a new place and needing to make my connecting flight. Everything I thought was going smoothly. But as I would soon realize, a mistake had been made. You see, my flight getting into the airport had been delayed. And because it had been delayed by a considerable amount of time, it meant that I would miss my next flight, my connecting flight. However, I had been assured that it was all going to be sorted out, and I would be put on the very next flight that was heading to my destination. And it was only an hour's or so delay, so not really the end of the world. And sure enough, when I stepped off my flight, there was a steward there waiting for me with my ticket, and he asked for my name, and I said it. It was all going to plan. I was walking forward confidently, believing that I was headed in the right direction. That was until I arrived at the check-in desk and discovered, to my shock and surprise, that I was in the wrong place. The flight my ticket had sent me to was the wrong one. And according to the guy at the desk, I had to go to a different flight at the other end of the corridor. So I did. I set off again, still feeling pretty confident, but now with a little bit of worry starting to sink in. And I went to the other desk, only to find, to my increasing bewilderment, that I was in the wrong place again. And the guy at the desk confidently stated that I needed to go back to the first place where I had set out. So I did. I set off again, this time feeling quite uncertain, but trusting in the absolute confidence of the person I had spoken to that I was headed in the right direction. Can you guess where this is going? I arrive back at the first place and they tell me again, no, this is not where you need to be. It's the other place. You need to go back there. That's the right direction. As you can tell, it was all becoming a bit of a mess. And I had no idea where I needed to go. I had no idea what the right direction for me was. I had started out so confidently, but now I was well and truly lost. What was worse is that each of the two people I spoke to were so confident that they were sending me in the right direction too. In the end, I had been given the wrong ticket. And it turns out there had been two Benjamin Scotts on the plane, and that caused all the confusion. The story for me ends happily, with me ending up on the right plane and getting to the right place, albeit a few hours later. But it illustrates the severe point that Paul is trying to make in the first few verses of our reading from today in Ephesians. That we live in a world where human beings, left to their own ends, always choose the wrong way. They always choose the wrong direction. But also they remain cheerfully confident that the direction they have chosen is, in fact, the right one. Paul starts our reading by explaining that we were all dead in our sins and transgressions. That the way we used to live, following the ways of the world, was not going to end well for us. Paul explains that at one point we were all like this, seeking only our own desires and gratifying our own cravings. That by our very own nature, we were deserving of wrath. Paul is not holding back here. But the point that he is trying to make is a serious one. Paul knows all too well what human nature is like. He's witnessed it firsthand. The problem is that our human nature sets us on a road towards destruction. We only have to look at the news to find so many disturbing and heart-wrenching examples of how human beings can treat each other. The wars in Ukraine and Gaza spring to mind. But Paul is also saying that this road towards destruction is not the only way forward. And Paul wants to remind his readers of the effect that Jesus' death and resurrection has on the people who believe in him. That through Christ we are set on a different path. Not to cause more pain and suffering in the world, but to help heal the world. You see, in this chapter, Paul sees the people who belong to Jesus as somehow being in him. And because we are in Jesus, what is true of him becomes true of us. So because he is raised, we are raised too. Going back to my confusing time in an American airport, it's like Jesus coming up to me when I was walking between the two desks and guiding me in the right direction, towards the place that I needed to be, even when I had no way of knowing the right direction myself. You see, lots of people are headed in the wrong direction and they aren't aware of it. And often they don't want to know as well. It's a lot easier to keep on confidently trudging forward and hoping that in fact you are going the right way. But Jesus shows us there is another way and goes as far as urgently summoning us to turn around and follow it. And the main thing that Paul is trying to stress in these first few verses of today's reading is the unbelievable kindness of a God who wants to guide us in the right direction. In four short verses, we are told that God is rich in mercy, loves us with a great love, that his sheer grace has saved us, and that all of this kindness is expressed through Jesus Christ. God wants what's best for us. And it is only through Jesus that humanity can be set on that right path. The path that leads us away from pain and suffering and towards a hope-filled and peace-filled future. And this peace-filled future is what our other reading from Isaiah is talking about. It tells us that God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. That they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. That nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This passage is describing a time where weapons of war will be converted into instruments of farming. A time where there is no need for them, where peace and prosperity will be for everyone. That's the path that God wants to set us on. But although we know that God will eventually bring about this lasting peace, bringing an end to all conflicts, we should just not wait for him to act. Our actions, however small they may seem to us, do have a positive impact on this world. We're told right at the end of today's reading from Ephesians that God has prepared good works for us to do. That through our actions as Christians who have experienced this grace and love of God, we can spread a bit of that grace and a bit of light on a world that at the moment feels very dark. Paul himself experienced this grace of God, and it completely changed his life. He experienced firsthand the grace offered to him through Jesus Christ, and he realized at that moment that there was nothing else greater in the whole of the world. It was so great that he gave up everything that he had built for himself in his previous life, and he started to follow Jesus, even though it often meant that his life would be much harder. But Paul didn't really seem to care, because he realized that God's gift of grace was so much greater than anything else this world had to offer. Paul saw the other way. And he turned his life around to follow Jesus. And for him, that was the right direction. And it led him towards a life of peace and a life of spreading the hope that he found through Jesus Christ. So in his letter to the Ephesians, he refers to this grace as a gift. as the gift of God. Because it is. It's a gift that is freely offered to everyone. And when you accept it, it's life-changing. The gift that through knowing and loving Jesus, being in him, as Paul calls it, we are raised and seated on high with him. Because Jesus rose to life after defeating death, we too can have eternal life and look forward to a day where there will be no more war and death, where there is no more pain and suffering, of a time where weapons will be turned into farming instruments. This gift is so life-changing for Paul that he believed through our experience of God's unending love that we are called to share that good news as well, that hope of eternal life and peace that we all know. And he believed that Christians, all the people who have accepted this good news and believe in Jesus, are given good works to do, to help start bringing about that hope of peace forever, that God has a specific and unique purpose for everyone here, that there is good work for each of us to do. Now, that may seem like a task that's so big it's beyond anyone, but Paul also reminds us in today's reading that we are God's handiwork, his masterpieces. Now, a masterpiece is something that a lot of time and effort is poured into, like an artist crafting a magnificent painting, or a carpenter crafting a superb table or rocking chair. It's no easy task. It takes a long time to complete. And when it's done, the artist takes steps to protect their work. No artist in the world would discard the masterpiece they've worked so hard to create. They wouldn't leave it out in the rain and forget about it. They would look after it, keep it safe, so that it can do the task it was created for. They might even feel proud and love the work that they've spent so long creating. We are God's masterpieces. He loves us, and he is proud of us. We're his creation. So when he calls us to do good works, even if they do seem beyond us, we're not going to be left to our own devices. God is going to support us and help us to do these good works. But we are not the only masterpieces. Everyone is. And that means that everyone we come across should be treated with love and respect and care. That, I think, is the beginning of the good work we are called to do. As we realize the love and care God has shown us, we go out and share that love with others. And we can begin to do that by making some small changes in our lives. We can pray for all those who are in the midst of conflict right now, for their safety and for peace to return to those lands. We can also show support to the charitable organizations that are supporting refugees and those affected by war. And we can recognize the work our military does in working to keep peace and offer logistical support to struggling countries throughout history. But we can also look closer to home. What work needs doing in our own communities? Who needs support? Who needs help? How would someone knowing that they are loved by Jesus change their lives for the better? But maybe you're here today and you haven't taken that step. Christianity just hasn't seemed right for you. Well, Paul spent a lot of time meeting with people who thought the same, who hadn't met God before and didn't think it was for them either. At one point, that would have been the Ephesians, who Paul was writing to in our letter from today. So Paul is always quick to remind them of the promises of Christ, that through him we are raised and seated, that we are saved because of the gift of God's grace, that God leads us away from that path towards pain and death and brings us instead to a hope-filled future. And all we have to do is accept that free gift. When I was walking through that airport, feeling a bit lost. I would have given anything for someone to show me the right way to go. I was not going to find it myself. I needed help. And sometimes my life can feel like that as well, where I'm walking forward, but I'm not really knowing if I'm headed in the right direction. It is those moments where I am most thankful to God for taking me by the hand and leading me in the right direction. Amen.